hear His Word and receive His gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 413, O Wondrous Type, O Vision Fair, a great transfiguration hymn. We'll stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service, setting 3, page 184 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. Our focus today, in addition to the historical event of the Transfiguration, but our epistle reading from 2 Peter and how God makes His witness and testimony more sure for us. Again, we ask God to bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the light of Christ shining in our dark world. We live in a world of darkness. We live in a world where the realities and consequences of sin are real and they hurt. Heavenly Father, bless us today with the light of Christ, with His glory that swallows up all of our enemies, including our greatest enemy, death itself. Give us peace and hope and joy as we look forward to our future glory in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world, we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Amen. Hymn 413.
Thank you. order of worship, divine service, setting number 3, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant to us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. That's printed on your bulletin insert. We chant them together.
Oh,
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in His glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I, here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have seen also the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for this day.
You are the most handsome of the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. The Lord says to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
The epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they are coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. This is the Gospel of the Lord. We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. Ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We sing now our hymn of the day, hymn 417. Please be seated.
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading that we heard just a moment ago from 2 Peter chapter 1, especially these words. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was about 6 months ago or so when my wife and I discovered Netflix. Now, I don't know if this was a good thing or a bad thing, but it is what it is. So, after we caught up on all of the back episodes of Blue Bloods, I started asking people what would be a nice series to follow up with. And many people, including many of you, said, well, if you like Blue Bloods, you will really like Longmire. Some of you know about this. It's set right in the smack dab middle of rural Wyoming. A throwback sheriff, all kinds of problems, a casino on a Native American reservation right next door, Amish Mennonites on the other side, and then your normal rancher, cattle, sheep, wolves, wacky conservationists, you know, the normal kind of stuff of life. Based on a book called The Longmire Mysteries, it's kind of a shoot 'em up, murder, solve the murder, when it's, and it's pretty good, with one exception. Every once in a while, you get some really weird, really strange Native American religious stuff that kind of creeps in. Not all the time, but once in a while. And as a part of this Native American worship, either through a sweat or by smoking a little peyote, you have a vision. You have a dream. The idea is these visions and these dreams tell you what to do, or they predict the future. But there's a problem with these visions, these dreams. You can't always tell what they mean. You think they mean one thing, but they might mean something else. So you go to an expert and you say, what does this vision mean? What does this dream mean? And they take a wild guess. And if you think it means one thing and it ends up meaning something else, they simply have the excuse, well, you just misinterpreted the vision. My friends, today, in our world, there are many people who want to depend on dreams or visions or some kind of a feeling with regard to their own personal life, their spirituality, what to do with regard to the future. Sometimes our desires for dreams and visions are drug-induced as well. Oh, maybe not peyote, but we all have our drug of choice, right? Today in God's Word, we have the transfiguration of our Lord. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. It's not make-believe. Because what the disciples Peter, James, and John witnessed on the mountain, as they had a special visit from Moses and Elijah, as they saw Jesus transfigured among them, this really happened. It's not a metaphor. It's not a dream. It really is history. So what are we to do with it? If only I could get a dream or a vision to tell me something about my life. Even better, if only I could be an eyewitness. If Jesus could come and talk to me and tell me how to get through this particular issue, what choice to make with regard to school or boyfriend, girlfriend or retirement or whatever. If only I could get that kind of an eyewitness account. Peter, James, and John had it. They were eyewitnesses of the glory of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, shining forth through Jesus. And yet, Peter says there's something better. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Talking about the transfiguration. Eyewitnesses of the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven. For we were with Him on the holy mountain. Oh, to be able to go to the holy mountain, to have and enjoy that mountaintop experience. Yes, it's good, Lord, to be here. Let's build for ourselves a tent, a hut, a tabernacle. Let's stay here forever because we all want that spiritual high. We all want that mountaintop experience. We all want to feel good about our relationship with God and our relationship with others forever and ever and ever. So what do? We want a dream, a vision, a mountaintop experience. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Peter, says, we had all that. But you have something better. You have something more sure. More sure than a dream. More sure than a vision. More sure even than an eyewitness encounter with the Lord Jesus Himself. What could that possibly be? The answer may surprise you. And we have something more sure. The prophetic Word. The prophetic Word. You understand what God is teaching us here? What is more sure than dreams and visions? What is more sure than an eyewitness encounter? The Word of God. The Bible. The very Word of God for you. The prophetic Word. To which you will do well to pay attention. As to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns when the morning star rises in your hearts. Well, there's a problem, isn't it? We have something more sure. God says, pay attention to it. How are we doing with that? Oh, we'll go on a Netflix binge. We'll seek dreams and visions. We'll talk about what we don't have. But how many times do we cling to the prophetic Word? How many times do we just open up our Bible and read God's Word, God's revelation of His glory and His love to us. We take it for granted, don't we? It sits on the shelf. It's always there. We hear some readings on Sunday morning, hopefully not too long. And that's enough. We don't want to get too carried away. Oh, sure, I can come to church, but Sunday school, Bible study, that's a little over the top, Pastor. My friends, you have something more sure. And God says, you would do well to pay attention to it. Why? Listen to how the Word is described. It is like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We live in a dark world. We live in a dark place. We all know that there is a dark place even in our own hearts. And the Word of God, the prophetic Word, is like a lamp shining in a dark place. Psalm 105, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. How can this be? Because the Word of God testifies to Jesus. All 66 books teach us about Jesus. He is the content and the main character in all of God's Word. Jesus, His perfect life, His obedient death, His glorious resurrection for you. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And as you are connected to Jesus, the light of the world, that light of Christ lives in you. That light of Christ fills up the dark places of your heart. That light of Christ shines in you and through you, illuminating an otherwise dark and dreary world. Why is it that we take God's Word, the prophetic Word, the Bible, so much for granted? I know it's a lie of Satan. How easy it is for us to look at God's Word, the Bible, like any other book. God teaches us here that the Holy Scriptures, the prophetic Word, the Bible, is different. Hear how God describes it. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. One of the first and primary Bible passages that all the catechumens here at Good Shepherd memorize is this passage from 1 Peter. Prophecy, God's Word, never had its beginning, its origin, in the mind or the heart of people. But God, the Holy Spirit, moved human beings to write the very Word of God. And through this whole process called inspiration, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that as we read God's Word, the Bible, even though we have human authors, we know what it is because God tells us what it is, the very Word of God. We are talking about what the Bible is, the inspired Word of God, not what the Bible does. Of course the Bible is inspiring. We read the stories, we see the burning bush in our Old Testament reading for today. God speaking from the bush, I am that I am. That's pretty inspiring, right? That's not what we mean when we talk about the inspiration of Holy Scripture. God spoke through people to bring us His very Word. The Word of light and the Word of life. And if God is the author of the Bible, if it truly is inspired, then it is inerrant. God is holy and incapable of making a mistake. The Bible is inspired and inerrant, without error. Everybody will agree that the Bible is an inspiring book. The inspiration and inerrancy of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is the source and root of every division in Christendom. That's why there are so many flavors of Lutherans. Because not everyone who calls themselves Lutheran believes that the Bible really is the Word of God, inspired and inerrant. And it's not just the Lutheran Church. It's the same for the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Methodists. My friends, when we deny that God's Word, the Bible, is the very Word of God, then we are open to all kinds of human ideas, visions, dreams about what God is really trying to teach us. We open ourselves up to become a marketplace for every kind of religious idea or notion, whatever their latest fad is. And that is why some churches resemble political action groups more than churches proclaiming the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the prophetic Word, is a light shining in a dark place because it is the clear Word of God. Just because you or I don't understand a particular passage does not mean that the Bible is not clear. Our sin clouds our mind, clouds our heart, clouds our judgment. The Bible is a light shining in a dark place because Jesus and Jesus only is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. My friends, today, as we remember and celebrate and observe the transfiguration of our Lord, we get a glimpse of the glory of Jesus. It's the end of our season of Epiphany. We see Jesus revealed for who He really is. God in the flesh, manifest for you and for me and for the life of the world. We see people from all over the world drawn to the light of Christ in the worship of the Magi. We see them bringing their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We see Jesus demonstrating His power and might and glory as He changes water into wine, heals the sick, and calms the storm. Today, we see Jesus giving us a glimpse of His glory as His face and His hair and His clothes shone like the sun. And we see Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. Not a dream, not a vision, but a conversation about what Jesus is about to do. Because Jesus does not stay on the mountain. He comes down off the mountain and He goes to a hill called Calvary, bearing the sin of the world from glory to suffering. My friends, we need to see the transfiguration of our Lord for what it is. It is not only a look backwards to the glory that Christ has always had since the foundation of the world and before, but it is a look forward, forward to the future glory of Jesus after He has conquered sin, death, and the grave, resurrected fully, bodily, for you and for me and for the life of the world. Jesus knew the tremendous guilt and shame and hurt and depression that the disciples would undergo as Jesus is arrested and crucified and buried in a tomb. To sustain them, He gives them a picture of Jesus' future glory. My friends, He does exactly the same thing for us right here, right now. You look at your life. You look at your life in Christ right here and right now. And you wonder, why does God see fit to allow this pain, this sorrow, this suffering, this hurt into your life? You consider the promises that God has made to you. And you wonder, are they real? Are they true? Are they a vision or a dream or a pipe dream? You face the temptation of sin, death, and the devil each and every day. You feel the real darkness of this world pressing down from out and pressing out from in each and every day. What do you need? What do you need when this hurt and this pain and this sorrow and this loneliness and this guilt attacks you? A vision? A dream? Smoke a little peyote and everything will be fine? Oh, maybe an eyewitness encounter. Travel to the mountaintop, maybe even to Rome or Jerusalem or Mecca. No. My friends, do not fall for the lie of Satan. You have something more sure. You have the prophetic word. You have God's word and revelation to you. Look and see in the Bible God's great love for you, for me, and for the life of the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that means? It means He died for you. He says, never, ever, ever will I leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You are in my hands, my nail-scarred hands. And nothing or no one can ever snatch you out. When you see the transfigured glory of Jesus, see your own glory. See that God has intended for you the light of Christ which lives and dwells in you, that light of Christ to shine for all eternity. Christ's glory is your glory. Your pain, your heartache, your sorrow is but for a little while. But your glory in Christ Jesus will last forever. My friends, today, take heart. You have something more sure. Jesus, His Word, the light of Christ, forgiveness, life, and salvation in His name. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus and His Word. Amen. In order to see, believe, and cling to the Word of God, we need a new heart. And that's exactly what God gives us. We sing our offertory, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," page 192. Please stand as you're able. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the light of the world, for you and for your salvation. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the light of Christ would fill you with Christ's love today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
In addition to the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, remember Good Shepherd members Karen Kamen and Mark Simnett, who are both having surgery tomorrow. Remember Good Shepherd member Joe Velasquez, who is having surgery on Thursday, and we pray that his new treatment would be successful. We pray also for three friends of Dee Indiger, who have been afflicted with cancer, Michelle and Glenn, who are receiving treatment, and Ben, whose cancer is incurable. We stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the baptized, that we would heed our Heavenly Father's admonition to listen to His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as He speaks to us through His Word and sacraments. And that we would, by grace, through faith, behold Him in His glory as He continues to tabernacle among us, delivering forgiveness, life, and salvation through the same. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have been placed in authority over us, including President Trump, Governor Ricketts, and all those who make, administer, and judge our laws, that they would serve with integrity and honor, having the welfare of all in mind, and for our country, that division, conflict and strife would give way to unity, peace and quietness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, hospitalized, recovering, enduring ongoing treatment or suffering in any way, especially those anticipating surgery, Karen, Mark, and Joe, and especially those dealing with any disease, especially cancer, Michelle and Glenn and Ben, that they would know Your peace and receive healing and relief according to Your gracious will. And for all who mourn, that they would be comforted by the sure and certain hope of the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the schools of the church, especially Good Shepherd Lutheran School and Preschool, for all who teach and learn in them, and for all who support them during this National Lutheran Schools Week and always. Raise up faithful teachers who are equipped to assist parents in nourishing children in faith and preparing them for life in this world. Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have
mercy. For those who come to the holy altar this day to receive Christ's holy and precious body and blood, that receiving the forgiveness of sins, they would be strengthened in faith toward You and in fervent love toward one another. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, through Him, with Him, and in Him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is Yours forever and ever. Amen. The service of the sacrament is found on page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at His transfiguration revealed His glory to His disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim His cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. We stand for the Nook for Minutes, page 199.
Lord,
thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated. No, we remain standing. We've got the common doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, number 805.
Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you want to go get some goodies and then come back in here in about 5-7 minutes or so, and we'll have our Sunday school opening. You're all invited for coffee and goodies after the service. One opportunity for Bible study. We'll conclude our Justifying Christmas study, looking at Galatians 4. And then we'll be back with our Formula of Concord study, Person and Work of Christ, next week. We'll be starting a new Summary of Christian Doctrine class February 11. We got a lot of stuff going on in the days and weeks ahead. Check out the news and notes. And this noon, I would guess noon would be a good time to tell people. This noon we have our big soup cook-off thing. So you're all invited to come back here to eat. And then you can vote and have some fun. And since neither the Saints nor the Packers are in the playoffs anymore, there's absolutely zero reason to care about NFL football. Same thing with the Chiefs and the Raiders. And yeah, so come and eat soup and have a good time, drown your sorrows, all that kind of stuff. We also have lots of other activities coming up. We have our big pancake feed coming up on the first Tuesday in February. Please, if you can help out, we need lots of help setting up and tearing down and serving and all that kind of stuff. Our voters assembly has been set. That will be Tuesday evening, January 30 at 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 30, 7 p.m. We've been having lots of activities going on in our world and in our state with regard to the sanctity of human life. Next Sunday, we'll be remembering and observing the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday here at Good Shepherd. What's going on Saturday, Pastor?
Is the Nebraska March for Life, and as is traditional, I don't know how many years we've been doing this, but the Lutherans are invited to gather at Trinity Lutheran Church. What is that, about 13th and...
It's right by the Capitol.
Yeah, right by the Capitol. Trinity Lutheran Church at 9 a.m. We'll have donuts and fellowship, and then we'll have a brief worship service. I'll be leading that. And that'll be roughly about 9:15, 9:20, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then we go over to the Capitol for the walk.
Okay. The fine details for that are in...